And this morning, I just want to share about a summons to come and to worship. So a summons to come and to worship. So Psalm 100, 1 to 5. I hope you got through the book of Psalms and to read that during January. I read that and then I kind of took a challenge to read it again in the last week of January to go through the whole thing, and I was able to get that done as well. So it says, show with joy to the Lord all the earth, worship the Lord with gladness, come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. So this morning, I want to share, kind of using a different terminology, just not a call to worship, but a summons to come and worship. You know, coming together like we are today is an important practice and commitment for every Christian. And you will find as you read Scripture that attending a place of worship is something that is scriptural, is something that is considered to be a normal practice, and something that God expects from all of his people. You know, the book of Psalms, as you read the book of Psalms, you'll find that it is a book that really encourages worship and also encourages us attending a place of worship. And from the book of Psalms, there's a lot of instructions we get there about how we should conduct our worship times and what that should entail and what it should include. And we get a lot of that out of the book of Psalms. And as you read it, the Psalms, great book that encourages us to worship God through many and different ways. Now, I realize that out there today, you know, there are some Christians that are believing that church isn't necessary. And pulling away from church, criticizing the church, staying home from the church, deceiving themselves that, you know, it's okay, church isn't really all that important. And, you know, it's one thing when I see people kind of convince themselves of that, but when I see preachers also encouraging people not to do that, it's kind of like, what is wrong with you that you would tell your own people not to bother to come to church, or that church isn't important? And, you know, if you see somebody going down that path, I want to encourage them, you know what, read the Bible. Don't just read a couple verses here and there, read the whole thing. Even as you read the book of Psalms, it's a very strong book that encourages us to come and worship together and worship the Lord in his house. And so that's something that's really important. And, you know, as you start reading through the Psalms, there's just so many verses we could refer to today. But one of those psalms, Psalm 42, and it speaks and kind of makes a comparison as a deer would long for water in a dry and thirsty land, that's his heart cry to be in the house of God and to worship the Lord. And in verse 4 of Psalm 42, this is what the psalmist says. He said, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. He's away from the temple. He's away from attending the temple. He said, I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession, to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. And because he wasn't able to be in the temple, his heart was breaking. I think that should tell us something, how important gathering together like this should be to us, that when we can't get together, our hearts should be breaking. Oh, to have that passion again for worship in God's house. Psalm 84, another great psalm of worship about being in the house of God. Verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 84 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of heaven's army. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. With my whole being, body, and soul, I will shout joyfully to the living God. And then down to verse 10 of that same song, like these words. There's an actual song that we sing this as well. It says, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. So as you read the book of Psalms, it's very strong in promoting the attending or the gathering together of believers to worship God. And as you read those Psalms, it expresses a great passion to be in God's house. And as Christians, I really think we need to get back to that passion of gathering together with others to worship the Lord. Like the psalm where it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And you know, if there's not a passion for us to be in God's house, then to me that should be an indicator, a wake-up call to us that something is missing in our lives. Now, I know that churches, you know, they can go through tough times. I know churches are not perfect. You know, pastors are not perfect. But we need to remember we are called to come together and to worship the Lord. We're not called to come and say, well, I like this, I don't like that, or look at this person or that person. We are called to worship Him. And, you know, we're called to come together. And that's what Psalm 100 is really about. And as you you read the commentaries about this chapter, I found an unusual word that I read lots of commentaries on Psalm 100 before, but there was one word that really stuck out to me. And commentators are those theologians that, you know, they really get in deep into the Word of God. They look at all the backgrounds and the translations and so forth. And anyway, as I was reading this commentary, talked about that word summons. There is a summons. We would often just say there's a call to worship, but he's going a bit further. There's a summons to come and worship. Now, a summons is authoritative and urgent call. It's not just something to respond to. It's something to be present at as well. And here the psalmist, he's picturing for us a blast of the trumpet to shout unto the Lord. Usually that shout comes with a trumpet blast. And that would happen as they were calling people to worship. And when that blast would be heard, when that shout would be heard, people were expected to respond and to come and to participate. Now for Israel, lots of times they used the trumpet blast. And that was to call people to attention. This morning we had a saxophone. Maybe he didn't have it up maybe as loud as it could be, but a blast of the saxophone to blow a similar thing, calling us to worship. And you know, as you look throughout the history of the world, it's kind of interesting, especially through Christianity, that, you know, different methods that people would use to call people to worship. And you can think of the bell and how that when the bell was rung in a community, it would tell the people, come, you need to come. And important information is going to be shared, or church is going to be take place. And throughout the ages, we have seen that. Even today, we have still the Catholic Cathedral, still has some bells, that those bells ring. And what are they ringing for? It's a call to come and gather to worship. And so as we kind of apply that today, you know, I really believe that God is summoning His church to come and to gather, to set aside their differences, and to focus on worshiping Him again. I know there's a lot of things that are happening in our world right now. There's a lot of Christianity stuff. It's all over the map. You're trying to figure, is that Christian? Is it not Christian? And there's just so much out there right now over social media and newscasts and all kinds of things and governments. And I really believe the Lord is saying to God's people, it's time to gather together and come and worship Him. That may not be the big news of the prophets that are out there in our world that are saying things, but that's what I'm sensing that the Lord is saying. And maybe you'll start hearing that. Maybe you'll start seeing some posts about that, that it's time to gather. God's people need to gather and worship and prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, again, a summons is not something that you would consider optional. It's something that you're supposed to respond to in person. And that you're to come with a great expectation to come and worship the Lord. And as we come and worship the Lord in places of worship, it's a place where we often hear from the Lord. As you look in the Bible, the book of Revelation is a beautiful example. Where was God speaking to that New Testament church? He was speaking to them in the church. And we see the messages to the churches in Revelation. But all through the Bible, we see that God speaks. And he speaks often in our meeting places. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." I really sense in my spirit, and even as I was doing this message, I was quite surprised that I felt a stirring in my own heart, in my own life, that God really is calling us together as people, as God's people, to get together, to start to pray, to start to seek his face. I was really pleased when we were out in Goodfish on Thursday night, and Georgina was talking to us. She says, "You know something, I'm really sensing in my spirit that this isn't enough, and we need to do something about it." And so as we were there, we decided we'd go every couple of weeks now, and then on the weeks that we're not there, that we would just maybe message each other and take some time to pray at home for the communities around us. And I think that's what God is doing. He's calling us. He's calling his people back to a place of worship and a place of prayer. And so as you read this psalm, Psalm 100, it's quite a familiar psalm. We've all probably read it thousands of times. At least I'm sure I have. And very common psalm. Lots of people remember this psalm. But as you read this psalm, it really speaks to us about how we should be coming into the house of the Lord. So we're going to start off with the first part tells us to come with gladness. You know, as that shout is given, as that shofar is blowing, the trumpet is blown, it's calling us to come. It's calling the people to come. And their appropriate response as they come is to come with gladness. So in other words, you know, that when you hear that, you know, that alarm clock go off for us in the morning, we're to wake up with gladness. Today's the day I go to the house of the Lord. Now, I know probably a lot of us maybe didn't wake up that way, that we were, it takes a little while, maybe a few coffees before you get there, but that's what it should be. We should be glad that we can go to the house of the Lord, even when it's cold. And bless you for coming today in this cold day. That honors the Lord. You're responding to something that honors him. So it says that on Psalm 102, worship the Lord with gladness. You should be happy about coming to the house of the Lord. Kind of makes you think, like, what would it be like if every Christian came to church happy? If every church person that came to church, they were actually glad that they were here and that they have an opportunity to worship the Lord. Wouldn't you think that would make quite a difference if every one of us came to the house of the Lord today and like, man, I'm happy to be here. I'm so excited. And I realized that, no, that wasn't all of us today. But it needs to be, because the Bible says that's how we are to come. That's how we are to come. You know, a lot of times we like to focus on our problems. We focus on our likes, or just like how busy it is. Today we're probably how cold it is. And the Bible is telling us when you come into his house, come with gladness. Come with gladness. Come with joy and with gladness. Because there's an opportunity to fulfill the summons that's been given to you by God himself to come and gather together and worship. So worship is supposed to be about joy and gladness. And, you know, I know we can all come up with an excuse. Well, there's this, that, I don't know, like that. Really, that's supposed to be out of our minds. We're just come here. I'm here to worship God. I don't care what the song is or what the song is, whether the lights are on, the lights are off, all those things that we have our preferences about. I'm here to worship the Lord. And I'm glad that I can be here. And, you know, really, joy should never be absent when coming in God's presence. Now, sometimes we like to put the pressure on our worship teams, and thank God for our worship teams. Man, I'm very excited for our team that we have, that they commit to all the practices and times to be here. But, you know, it's not their job to make you glad. It's not their job to make you happy about coming to the hosts of the Lord. The simple fact that we are here to worship Him, that's why we should be glad. That we can be together with one another, where we just took some time and we welcome one another and say, hey, man, good to see you. That should bring an excitement and a happiness to be with us. You know, worship is so important. And to be glad about a worship, to be happy that we can worship the Lord, should be something that's important to us. Listen to what Psalm 96 says. We're going to refer to Psalm 96 quite a bit here too. Verses 11 and 12, it says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. It's calling even creation to come with gladness and happiness to praise and to give worship to our God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want some crop taking the credit for worshiping my God. I don't want some rock crying out in my place. I want to be doing that myself to make sure that we worship the Lord. So in this summons to worship, we are called to come and to worship the Lord with gladness and joy. And so as you think about that, you know, on a Sunday morning, you know, when you finally wake up, maybe after a few coffees, to say, I need an attitude adjustment before I come to the house of God, because there needs to be a joy. There needs to be a happiness that I can be here today and to worship the Lord. And obviously, to some degree, you all must be very close to that because you are here today. You could have stayed home and not come today, but you did come. So we bless you in Jesus' name. Secondly, we're to respond in this summons of worship by coming together and singing together. We were doing that this morning. Praise the Lord. Psalm 102, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. And you'll often see that in worship, the word joy. Man, it should be a joyous celebration. We should be singing with joy. And, you know, that's something this church does. You may not be realize that, but I often get when visitors come through our church, they'll often speak to me and tell me that, you know, your church really sings. And I said, well, that's kind of normal. We're supposed to sing. But I'll get that even from other Pentecostal and evangelical church people as well. And they'll say, man, when we come to your church, we hear you guys sing. And then it kind of makes me ask, well, don't you sing in your church? Well, we don't hear anybody. But yeah, they sing up front, but I don't know if anyone else is singing. Well, you're responding. People are noticing that when they come here, that this is a church that loves to sing. So thank you. Praise you. Man, we just are so happy that you're here and that you're entering in. But more important than that, God is pleased when he sees you singing and shouting out to the Lord like that. You know, again, speaking of our little children, sometimes I just sit in the front there and I stop singing and I start to listen and I start to hear the congregational sing. And there's sometimes, you know, I've often wondered, said, man, I think there might be angels in here because this is really loud. And man, people are really entering in today. It's almost like there's more people than what are here that are singing. And who knows, maybe that is happening. Sometimes I hear little kids sing. Man, they're just belting it out. And I think, oh, man, that just blesses my heart. Or if I see a little kid and they've got their hands up and they're worshiping the Lord, man, again, that just melts my heart. Like, that's awesome. That's what we need to be doing, singing and rejoicing in our Lord that we got. And again, you know, I know we all have our opinions and our likes, our dislikes, and we would like worship this way, worship that way. Friends, we just need to come with the intent, say, I am here today to worship the Lord. Like, I'm going past anybody else or my distractions that are going on, and I'm just going to worship the Lord. Psalm 96 tells us this about singing. It says, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. You know, each day should be a new day for us. Each day should be a new song that comes to our mind that we want to sing. You know, and sometimes that can happen in church. You're just singing along, and all of a sudden you're finding that you're saying other words than what's on the screen. And thankfully, if you're not too loud there, that's okay. But sometimes God does. He gives you a new song to sing and shout unto the Lord. And so again, something that's very important for us to gather together to worship the Lord together. And the point of singing is that it honors God. And he receives that as an acceptable offering of worship. And so I want to encourage you, keep singing. Keep singing, because it's speaking to people, not just to our God, but it's also speaking to people that come to this church and is drawing them to seek a church just like your own. So keep singing joyfully to your God, because it's another acceptable form of worship that God is calling his church to be. Then thirdly, in this summons of worship, we are called to come acknowledging our God. So worship really isn't about us. It's about him. We often make it about ourselves when it should be all about him, that we're focusing on him. Psalm 103, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And so we need to be acknowledging God as the true God, that there is no other God, that he is the great God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Savior, our master, our healer, our comforter, our shepherd, our guide. We were doing that in those last few songs that you sang about how great is our God. That's what you're acknowledging, who your God is as we're singing. That's a good thing to do. How great thou art. You're acknowledging who he is. And so that's something that's very important and our worship. Worship is about acknowledging the Lord for who he is and for what he has done. Acknowledge him for saving us, for forgiving us of our sin. Acknowledge him for the prayers that he has answered, his goodness in our lives, his presence in our lives, and so much more. You know, we are blessed even just to be called his people, to have relationship with him, to acknowledge him. Psalm 96, 7, 8 says this, O nations of the world, recognize the Lord. Recognize that the Lord is glorious and strong. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring your offering and come into his courts. So we're to give the Lord his praise. We're to give him the glory that he deserves. And he's calling all nations to do that. I believe there's a fresh call unto the nations to get themselves straightened out and to come back to that place of worshiping the Lord. And it goes on here to talk about, and as we do that, bring your offering to the Lord. You know, you may not realize that as we give unto the Lord, that that's a form of worship. We sometimes don't do that, recognize that that's what we're doing. And so the Bible is telling us that as we acknowledge him, part of acknowledging him is actually giving him an offering. That we're recognizing that, yes, Lord, I'm responding to you. I'm giving back to you how you bless me, and I'm responding back to you. And so that's a form of worship that we're encouraged to do in acknowledging our God. And so there's very ways, you know, we can acknowledge the Lord by our worship. And we need to do all those ways and be happy and glad that you can come, that you can acknowledge God through the various ways. Even as we give, we should be happy that we can give. Then fourthly, in this summons to come and worship, we're to come with thanksgiving, having thankfulness on our minds, expressing thankfulness and appreciation to our God, giving thanks to him. Very, very important. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. Commentators, as you look at what they're saying about this psalm, they often refer to that this is the second summons that is now given. And so the first part, which we already looked at, this here's the second part. So once again, the psalmist is trying to get our attention, say, okay, pay attention here. Here's something else that's very important, that as you gather together as God's people, come with thanksgiving. Come to the house of the Lord with thanksgiving. And again, you know, imagine if all of us would come to church every Sunday and we would come through those doors and we'd already be thankful before we did anything else. That's how the Bible says it's supposed to be. That we're supposed to be thankful even before we get here. But as we do get here, get ready to give thanks. Get ready to give some praise. Get ready to do some singing. Get ready to lift up your hands. Get ready to give an offering. All those kinds of things is what we need to do to give thanks. Bible in the Old Testament time, they often referred to as a thank offering. So even again, part of worship is your giving. And so that's important. Our worship is to have some excitement in it. It's good to see that here. It's not to be cold. It's not to be unresponsive. Rather, we're to express our worship with thanksgiving. Now, I realize in reality, sometimes, you know, depending on circumstances in your life, that might be a heavy thing to do for you. Come to a church and maybe things aren't going too well, that you've been facing difficulties, you've been facing hardships, you're not feeling well. But you know what? There's an amazing thing when you start to give thanks to the Lord. There's always something that we can give thanks to the Lord for. And it's something amazing happens that when you start to give thanks, even though maybe you're going through something difficult, even though you may be going through something hard, it can change your atmosphere. It can turn things around. It's kind of like that old chorus we used to sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You know, look, full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go, what? Strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." It's amazing that when you do come to a church service, and maybe you're not feeling so great or so wonderful, but you start to enter in, what happens? You kind of forget about that. Kind of gets pushed aside because you're doing something that's far greater and far more important. So thanksgiving is a great atmosphere changer. And obviously, God is touched by worship of thanksgiving that he's telling us today, this is something that's important for us as we come. Psalm 95:2 says, "Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to him." So it touches the heart of God. Your thanksgiving touches God's heart. And the Bible goes on to say, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So here it's more than just a summons to come and worship, to come and respond. It's also the will of God that God desires for each one of us that we'd be thankful in our worship. Then lastly in worship, we're summoned to come in his house with praise. Again, Psalm 104, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." So just as thanksgiving is important, so is praise. They kind of go together. And so we're to come into his these places of worship, and we're to give him praise. We're to be extolling the wonders and the goodness of God over our lives. We're to be expressing our thankfulness and our praise for who he is and what he has done for us. And, you know, there's just so much we can praise God about. You just need to take a few moments and think about it and look back over your life. Even if you're having a rotten day, if you would just take a few minutes and start thinking about where God has blessed you or God has been with you throughout the years, again, it can change the attitude and change your response. It can change your atmosphere where you begin to praise him. And we are called to praise him. We're to be called to praise him really at any time, whether we're in the house of the Lord or wherever we might be. And it's quite an extensive call to praise the Lord in everything that we do. I like how the Psalms end, Psalm 150. And it gives us a real good picture here about praise. How should we come into God's house and praise? And I kind of like this one because it mentions some of the things that are going on in a church. So it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with a lyre and the lyre and harp. Praise him with a tambourine and dancing. Praise him with the strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with a loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord." Again, pretty clear to us how we should be coming into his house. That it's important for us to gather together, join together, and lift up our voices together and praise the Lord. That is God's will for every church meeting. And again, imagine the atmosphere. If everybody came into this place and we all said, I'm going to praise the Lord. I don't care what happened today. I'm having a rotten morning, but you know what? I am going to praise him. And if we all started doing that, there'd be a total atmosphere change in the whole place. And that's what God's saying. That's what I want from you. That's what I desire of you as you come into the house of the Lord. Now, I know that this here is a familiar psalm to a lot of us. But, you know, it really does encourage us in this whole area of worship and kind of reminds us that, you know what, coming to a place of worship is important. I know a lot in the world today, a lot of Christian circles even, are trying to encourage people not to go to a church, that you don't need a church. And my heart goes out to them because they're deceived. They're deceived. They're missing it. They're not reading the scriptures fully. The Bible says, I want you to come and gather. And as you come and gather, I want you to come with gladness and joy. I want you to come with joyful singing. I want you to come in acknowledgement of who he is. I want you to come with thanksgiving. I want you to come with praise. And I really believe that there's a sound that's going out into our world today, and it's going out to Christians and all those people who are kind of getting interested about church. There's a stirring in their hearts. Maybe you're one of those people that's watching us online today. There's a stirring in your heart. Why is there a stirring? Because God wants you to come into his house. He wants you to come and be a part of what he's going to be doing in these last days. He wants you to come and be prepared because, you know, there's another reason why we should be gathering together and encouraging one together in these days. And, you know, I said, you know, we're referring a lot to Psalm 98 as well. Well, both Psalm 96 and 98, they talk about that coming together to worship the Lord. But I don't know if you noticed that as you read through those scriptures, there was something at the end of those. And again, I'd like to read that, Psalm 96, 11, but I'm going to include verse 13. It says, let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice, let the sea and everything shout his praise, let the fields and the crops burst out with joy, let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. And it gives us a reason why, for he's coming. He's coming again. And you know, that's from the Old Testament to New Testament. It reminds us the Lord is coming again. And there's a call going out. I really sense that in my spirit. I hope there's others that are sensing that as well, that God is calling his people. And all those who are becoming interested in the things of God or becoming feeling a stirring in their hearts, he's saying, I want you to come. I want you to gather together. I want you to come and to worship the Lord together. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. And so we want to prepare ourselves to come ready to worship the Lord. And as we see some of the things that are going on in our world right now, our world is really in a mess. We have new things now with Canada and U.S. relationships, which should never be like that, but they are right now. Well, what's the answer? God's people need to come together. If my people who are called by my name, if they're going to come, if they're going to start worshiping me, I'll heal the land. Do you want the land to be healed? Do you want the land to be prosperous again? Do you want to see good things in your land? Then come together. God is calling the church. God is calling God's people, Christians, people who are interested in God or feeling a stirring in their hearts. It's time to come together, and it's time that we worship together, support one another, encourage one another. It's time. That's his call. And so I'm going to ask the musicians if they would come back to the instruments to close us off with a chorus, a song of praise. Tonight as well, if you want to come and join us, we made it a little bit earlier in case you have kids and they don't want to be out too late. So just 6:30, 7:30. But I hope you're sensing as I am, it's more than a call, it's a summons. And God is calling his people all over the land. Time to come back. It's time to come back, be together as a body, worship the Lord, call on his name, give him praise, to be together. You know what? We're very blessed in our church that we have all of you here. Very blessed that we can welcome one another, encourage one another. Even in our prayer times, I've been very, very blessed just watching, you know, our fellow Christians in the church. And they're not waiting for me to do their prayer, which is really good. They're praying. They're going over and putting a hand on that person saying, I'm going to pray for you. They're going over and they're talking to that person. They're going over and they're hugging that person. And even today, you know, if you sense that somebody is hurting today, somebody needs to be encouraged today, well, that's part of who we should be. Go and encourage them. Go talk to them. You know, hey, how are you doing today? And if you need prayer by somebody, why don't you ask that person that's right beside you to say, you know what, I could use some prayer today. Going through some pretty tough stuff. I just need some prayer. And encourage one another. Because God is calling us to come together. He's calling us to come and to worship him.